Shittisa. I would say it's probably one of the most baffling stories that takes place in the Torah. Now, truth is, different stages of my life, I probably would have used different descriptive words. Perhaps I would have said, it's devastating, upsetting, it's a bad story, it's a stain on the Jewish people kind of story. But the truth is, it's really baffling. Because right after Jews received the Torah in the form of the Ten Commandments, God descended on Mount Sinai and gave over the commandments verbally. Moses was then instructed to go up onto the mountain, at which point he was to stay 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure the experience upstairs was very pleasant. But at the end of his stay, God says to him, "Oh, you must go back down. Your people have made a tremendous blunder." Moshe comes down, and of course, here we have the story of the golden calf. The parsha does tell us what takes place over here down below, meaning what the people who approached Aaron, Moses' brother, why they wanted to create a golden calf, what the problem was. There was a miscalculation with the amount of days. They needed the leadership. Moses was not there, etc., etc. That itself is an interesting study within the parsha itself. But then it leads us to Moses' reaction. Now Moses is coming down the mountain, and it says he hears the sound of merriment. Moses is about to observe what is can only be described the greatest unfaithful move by his people, Moses' people. He represented the people. He was the people. The people were represented by him. And here it's unfolding in the most catastrophic manner. We know the story that Moses actually takes the commandments, the tablets, and he breaks them. On that itself, there's lots of discussion. What does that signify? But it was a heroic act from Moshe Rabbeinu, who's leading the Jewish people. And over here we see his relationship with God. He then goes and he negotiates with God that God should forgive the people. And there's a whole discussion and a whole insight into compassion over here, into God's modus operandi, into the wonderment of God, in this dialogue that takes place in this week's parasha, as to whether we can even understand God, or perhaps, better said, the reality that we can't understand God, and that is just a finite inability to understand the infinite. Moses goes as far as to say to God that if you do not forgive the Jewish people, then you can take me out of the Torah that you wrote. And, you know, these are the heroic moments of Moses and God. What is the result? The result is God forgives the Jewish people. And we know that God forgives the Jewish people because God then says to Moses, go and produce. Let's come back up on the mountain. Produce the second set of the tablets. Now you understand that that itself signifies the greatest level of forgiveness, because it's one thing to say, okay, yeah, let's bury it, let's bury the hatchet, let's put it behind us. But it's quite another to say, let's go for another round. Going for another round is the greatest sign of God's forgiveness. So that's the story. That's the insight into the deep relationship of the Jewish people with God. That is the message that we can take to heart, and we could, more than take to heart, we live with. We know it. We know it as a reality. Our souls feel it. This bond that we have with God that can withstand even the greatest of disloyal and errant kind of behavior. But it's still baffling. It's baffling because this is not but 40 days after the Jews received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And we all know it says, I am the Lord your God as number one. Do not have any other gods as number two of the Ten Commandments. And in such short order, they should defy the Ten Commandments, no less. The first two, those which were said by God himself. The faithfulness that's required and the faith that's required. The loyalty that's required. And it took how long to stain that relationship? And that's why I use the word baffling. Hasidic insight explains, how is it possible that it happened in such short order? You see, in life, there are different kinds of inspiration. There's inspirations that happen not because of something that one is doing, but something that's happened from without. Meaning you're observing something. Something is imposed from the outside. An inspiration, a revelation, shall we say. In this case, it's God that descended on Mount Sinai. And at that point, the Jews were standing there in amazement. You can imagine their spiritual level rose, but all as a result of, right, cause and effect. It was as a result of the inspiration that was being showered upon them from above. In terms of their intrinsic transference to something else, well, they were raised up. And the moment that revelation ceases, so the result of that revelation is not guaranteed because it is not something that's acquired through personal service and through personal discipline and through personal work towards something. And then there's the inspiration that comes from within, the inspiration that comes from study, inspiration that comes from perception, looking around, working on yourself, controlling different emotions, being in the right place, and engaging in the right sorts of activities. You go to shul, you hear a good sermon, you learn a good piece of Torah, you read a good book, Jewish book, a book that gives insight into Torah, Judaism, mitzvahs, etc. That's personal work. That kind of work, that kind of discipline, that kind of effort transforms the person that's doing it. Both are necessary. But in this particular case, we see that inspiration that comes from an outside source is the impetus for the next stage of doing something on your own. But in its own right, is not transforming. The Jews stood at Mount Sinai, they had the highest level of revelation. God descended on the mountain, and the Jews, as a result, rose to a different level. But then the work afterwards was, what were they going to do with their own life? And from the story, we can see the transformation wasn't complete. It was the heavy lifting that needed to take place. Fast forward to each and every one of us in our days. Oftentimes, we like to think that if we were standing at Mount Sinai, we would be perfect. If we were standing at Mount Sinai and we heard God's voice, boy, would we be better Jews, whatever that means. But the truth is, we see the story in the Torah from the generation that was standing at Mount Sinai. They did hear it. And what was the result of many of them? So it's not a guarantee. And yet the other side is a guarantee. When we spend time studying Torah, connecting to Judaism, connecting to Torah and mitzvahs, and connecting to our heritage and to our history and to our religion, then we transform ourselves. We become stronger people. We actually become refined. We actually move to the next level of our spiritual journey. And this is the story of Kitisa. It starts off baffling as to how the Jews could do it. And then ends off empowering, recognizing that God actually forgives when we make a mistake. God is not expecting perfection from us. To the contrary, there was already someone that preceded us that did worse than us, perhaps. But God does expect us to put our effort in. And when we put our effort in, then God forgives. Have a fantastic day.